Okay. Okay, so during the last couple of weeks, we discussed the idea of Jesus blooming as the Rose of Sharon in our lives. We spoke about some of his qualities, his characteristics, such as love, compassion, willingness to forgive, extreme humility, intercession, his effect on people. Can people see Jesus in us? Do we possess these qualities? The only way people will be able to see Jesus in us is if we genuinely possess him in our lives. The more we have of the Lord in our lives, the more people will be able to see him in us. We need to be filled and refilled with his Spirit. Then people will see Jesus in us. And when he fills, he gives in abundance. He not only fills, Jesus fills to overflowing. God cannot be contained. The Lord wants to empty us of things that do not belong in our lives so that he can fill us to overflowing. This morning I would like to discuss God's response to a heart that is empty and hungry for him and how he fills. We want to read about an incident in which an effort had to be made in order to receive from the Lord. In this instance, armies needed water. And this is important because we want to receive water also, living water, the Holy Spirit. As we always say, a filling and refilling of the Holy Spirit for those of us who have been baptized. So if you could turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 4 to 20. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verses 4 to 20. Those online, 2 Kings chapter 3 and verses 4 to 20. Okay, beginning of verse 4. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep herder, a breeder, and used to pay the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But when Ahab died, who was the king of Israel at that time, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all of Israel. Then he went and sent word to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." He said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way of the wilderness of Edom." Now the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they made a circuit of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. Then the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What do I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." And the king of Israel said to him, No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab. Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came about when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. He said, Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, both you and your cattle and your beast. This is but a slight thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also give the Moabites into your hand. Then you shall strike every fortified city and every choice city and fell every good tree and stop all springs of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. It happened in the morning about the time of offering the offering sacrifice that, behold, water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Okay, so a little background. At this time in Israel's history, the nation was divided into two parts. The northern kingdom of Israel was ruled by King Jehoram, whom we read about. He was the son of Ahab, who was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had, married to Jezebel. That'll tell you something over there. The southern kingdom of Judah was ruled by King Jehoshaphat, who we read about. Previously, as we know, Israel was one nation. This may be why the King Jehoshaphat responded to King Jehoram to say, I am as you are, and my people and horses as your people and horses. After the king of Edom joined the alliance against the nation of Moab, a major problem developed, which was a lack of water. Now, Elisha's response to King Jehoram may seem harsh, but keep in mind that Jehoram did not walk in the ways of the Lord, and as we said, was the son of King Ahab. And we know the history of Ahab, bad news. As we read, the prophet told the kings to dig trenches in the valley. He also told them that they would not see rain, but that the valley would be filled with water. God works in mysterious ways. Don't ever doubt him. If he says something, it'll happen. So here the Lord says to the prophet, they would not see rain, but the valley would be filled with water. An interesting point is that the kings did not question Elisha. They just followed the word of the Lord. Now, someone in current times may have questioned the geography of the land and how could water reach the trenches. You know, is the land tapered? Is it coming down the mountain? I mean, how is the water going to get into these holes, these trenches that we're going to dig? They didn't question. When God says something, you can be sure it's going to happen. And sometimes, yeah, we may wonder how. Leave that up to God. If he says something, it will happen. The trenches were dug, and the next morning, they were filled with water. Now, what's the application to us this morning? Before God would send water, trenches had to be dug. Empty, empty holes. If the ground were level, no holes, water could not be received. If we want to receive living water, the Holy Spirit from the Lord, we need to be empty. Emptied of all that God does not want us to have in our lives. Empty of whatever is not in his will for our lives. Maybe we need to be empty of or let go of a habit, judging or criticizing others, holding grudges, not forgiving. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, watch this. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. I mention this periodically because it's very important. If the Lord doesn't forgive our transgressions, that's serious. How could we enter heaven with sin? We've got to forgive others. And sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill. Oh, this person, what this person said to me, what they did to me. Look what Jesus forgave our entire lives. We have to learn to forgive others. So who knows what we need to be emptied of? As we said, it could be not forgiving, could be a bad habit, judging or criticizing others. We need to be empty before the Lord. Empty of anything that is displeasing to God. Even something good in life could be hindering a hunger for the Lord. If we give a higher priority than we give to Jesus, nothing can have a higher priority than the priority that we give to Jesus. Nothing. Nothing can stand in the way. No idols. We can't get filled with the cares of this world that Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower. And the cares of this world stop us from hungering for the Lord. And this is a big one today. How the cares of this world could creep in. There's so many distractions around us. Oh, I need to do this, and this is important. This has to get done. Is anything more important than the Lord? Should anything take his place? Nothing is more important than the Lord and the time that we should be giving to him. We can get filled with the cares of this world, and they stop us from hungering for the Lord. What are the cares of this world? Anything in your life that gets a higher priority than God. Anything that consumes so much of your time that you have no time or reduced time for the Lord. You say, well, I give time to the Lord. Yeah, but are you cutting it short? Oh, I have to run here. I have to do this. You have your responsibilities, but choose a time of day that you give God his proper time and not a reduced, shortened time. Anything that gets more of your attention or interest than the attention or interest that you give to God, that is one of the cares of this world. Ask Jesus to help you set your priorities so that he always gets first place. Jesus compared the cares of this world to thorns. Nothing nice. How many of us like getting pinched by thorns? Jesus compared the cares of this world to thorns. Thorns are not something that you want in your garden, and you certainly don't want them in your life. The cares of this world will stop you from hungering and thirsting for the Lord. If you don't know what the Lord wants removed from your life, you can ask him. He will show you. Then ask God for help to get rid of it. It's not that his Lord says, I want this to go. This has to leave your life. He'll help you get rid of it. He'll help you. We may pray to the Lord to fill us, but he may be looking down and saying, oh, I would love to, and he does. I would love to fill you, but I can't. There's no room for me. God can only fill an empty heart, an empty soul. It's an empty stomach that's hungry, right? So we want to be empty before the Lord. When we are empty, then we can hunger for the Lord. When we are empty, then God can fill us. If we want to be hungry for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit, or a refilling of the Holy Spirit, we must first be emptied of ourselves. Only then can the Holy Spirit fill us. And when he fills to overflowing. The The Lord doesn't fill it just to the rim, like you see, you know, a bottle of water or something like that. But he fills it, spills all over the place. God cannot be contained. That's why when he fills to overflowing. Who could contain him? Notice that an effort had to be made, and that work had to be done, and that trenches were dug. This shows us that an effort must be made in order to become empty. We need to cooperate, work with the Lord, as he shows us things that should not be in our lives. And keep in mind, it could be something good, but if it's hindering your service to God, if it's hindering your response to him, your hunger to him, it has to go. If we work with the Lord and let go of what is not in his will for our lives, then we will become empty, and then he can fill us. How does the Lord respond and fill an empty, hungry heart? If you would turn to me to Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to read about it. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3, and then 6. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to begin at verse 1. This is how God responds to an empty heart, a hungry heart. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Notice in these verses, verses 1 and 3, how many times the Lord said, come. Come to the water. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. And also, give ear and come to me. The Lord kept inviting. He's saying, come, come, come. He wants us to come to him with an empty heart, so he could fill us. Come to me, and I will satisfy your hunger and your thirst. The Lord knows how to quench your thirst. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord refers to himself as the fountain of living waters. In Isaiah 55, the Lord is saying, I will take care of all those desires that you have in your life. I will fill you as no one else can, and there is no cost. Look at what goes on with inflation today. It just seems like there's no relief from inflation. When God gives, he gives in abundance, and there is no cost. And he's saying, why are you turning to and seeking after those things which cannot satisfy? Listen, listen to me. If the Lord gives a command twice like, listen, listen, or truly, truly, I say to you, he's calling attention. That's why the word is repeated. Listen, listen to me. He is saying, I will satisfy your hungering and your thirsting. Come to me, and I will fill you to overflowing. Let's read Isaiah chapter 44. In verses 1 to 3. Just turn back a couple of pages. Isaiah chapter 44 and verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version, but you can follow in your version in the pews. Isaiah chapter 44 and verses 1 to 3. This is beautiful. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord that made you and that formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass and willows by the watercourses. He who says over there, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Now, we all saw the rain last Sunday night. I was driving in it from Jersey City over to here. Like I said, Route 1 to 9 was like a river. Route 21 over here was a mess. I couldn't even get off at the exit here. I finally get into town. Couldn't drive down Mill Street because that was flooded. I finally made it here. It took me an hour and 15 minutes to go from Jersey City over to here. What point am I making? There were floods all over the place. Route 1 to 9 was a river. God said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. When I was driving in that rain, it was heavy rain. It didn't stop and slow down to just a shower. It was constant, torrential rain. That's what God wants to do. That's what God, that heavy rain, does. If you look out your window and saw it, that it wouldn't quit, guess what? I hope that rain was prophetic, because that's what God wants to do. Pour out his spirit in that fashion. Those online, that's what God wants to do. He wants to pour floods on the dry ground. He's looking for open hearts so he could pour down the floods upon the dry ground. These people, in the armies of Israel and Edom, they had to dig trenches. Work had to be done. Dig ditches. Empty your hearts. Empty your minds so that God could fill them. He wants to pour floods, not a spring shower. He wants to pour floods on the dry ground. He's looking for empty hearts. Only the Lord could quench the spiritual thirst. He didn't say he would give a couple of drops of water. He didn't say showers. He said floods upon the dry ground. We are praying to an almighty God. We want floods upon the dry ground. We need floods upon the dry ground. When you are seriously hungering and thirsting for God, he will definitely respond. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. My favorite verse, and you will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Let's turn to John chapter 7, and we're going to read three verses there. John chapter 7 and verses 37 to 39. This goes along with how does God respond to a hungry heart. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Now on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Again, that word come to me. Jesus is saying it. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified, or Jesus was not yet crucified. That's what that means over there in verse 39. The feast at which Jesus spoke was called the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted 8 days. For 7 days after gathering their crops, people of Israel were to rejoice in the feast of the Lord. On the eighth day, a custom called the pouring of water took place. During this custom, water was placed from gold vessels onto the altar in the temple. Now, there was a pool nearby. I believe it was the pool of Bethesda, which now is in Israel, is only a couple of blocks away from the temple, short distance. So they would take vessels of water from this pool, and they would bring it into the temple and pour it on the altar over there. And with trumpets and other ceremonies, this water was poured out before the Lord with expressions of joy. Why would Jesus say these words on the last day, the eighth day of the feast? Jesus was probably watching this celebration for 7 days, and maybe it was more like a big party. Then on the eighth day, the people would ceremoniously pour water onto the altar. Waiting for the last day of the feast to deliver his message, maybe Jesus was saying, now that you celebrated, you had a good time during this feast, do you see that this feast, the celebration, these good times will come to an end and will not satisfy? This is the eighth day. The people were going home after this. And Jesus was saying, do you see that, you know, these good times will come to an end and will not satisfy? In your ritual, Jesus must have been thinking about this. In your ritual, you are pouring water, but I want to pour living water into your heart, into your life. And speaking of living water, Jesus was referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was saying that only living water can satisfy. Jesus knew that the feasts, the parties, all the good times that this world offers cannot bring true happiness and satisfaction. He was offering living water that satisfies and quenches thirst. Water that comes from a fountain that never runs dry. Could you imagine a fountain like that? You know, you go to a fountain, and, you know, you press the lever and water comes up. As soon as you move your hand, the water stops. God, there's no lever, and the water never stops. Living water. God wants to pour in our hearts this morning. A fountain that never quits. Imagine that. This morning we want to examine our lives and see what we are hungry and thirsting for, what we are seeking in life. Ask the Lord to show us if we are hungering and thirsting, hungering for and getting filled with things that are not from Him, things that cannot satisfy and never will satisfy. Are we seeking after things that never will satisfy? Do our focus and desires have to be changed? Go before the Lord and ask Him. Do our priorities have to be changed? Are we hungry and thirsting for God or for things in life that will never satisfy? Does the Lord or someone else, something else, mean the most to us in life? If we are serious about hunger and thirsting for God, we should ask Him to empty us. Ask the Lord to put a hunger and a thirst in our lives for Him. God will definitely answer that prayer. Is the Lord His will for our lives and becoming empty a priority in our lives? If we really want to be filled and refilled with the Lord, His Holy Spirit, if we really love Him, then emptying will be a priority in our lives. We will be willing to dig the trenches in our hearts so that Jesus can fill us with living water. When we become empty, we are losing what is not good for our lives and gaining the Lord, His Spirit in us, and eternal life. And when He fills to overflowing. So I'm going to stop there. We're going to get down to pray. Someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message, and then we will sing the last hymn.